I literally said something about, like, how happiness might be what makes you feel good. But generally, like, you should be, to be, like, as happy as you can, you should chase after what's going to make you the happiest in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
That people shouldn't get confused between, like, what makes them happy in the short term versus long term. So if you have, like, self-driven purpose and you feel, like, fulfilled in life, like, that's going to be a huge component about just getting an optimal amount of happiness.
Yeah, very good. It's a very strong intuition as well, that there's going to be different ways of describing happiness, whether you're talking about what's going to make me happy today, like, in the next few hours, what would make me happy over the course of the next few years, right? Others?
Yeah.
You're all fuzzy right now. My glasses are dirty.
What else? What else came out of your discussions? How did you sense from your groups that there was skepticism or confidence about the possibility of changing the level of your happiness? Or maybe you could just speak for yourselves. Are you coming into the class as it's great to come in as how whatever you're thinking is fine, but are you coming in kind of as a skeptic? Or are you coming in as a hopeful believer that maybe it's possible?
Yeah. I was confused by that statement because I feel like I've seen many different levels of happiness even within one day. You know, I feel like I've changed a happiness level. So that's why I was also confused when we were talking about whether one person can be much happier than the other, like in general or during a certain time of their life.
Right. Is happiness ephemeral? Is it basically a sequence of moods? Is there anything? Is there another level? I mean, the long term suggests there's another level to it, maybe. But another way to get at these differences is whether you really think of happiness as a feel, like feeling a certain way, or whether you think of happiness as a state of being. Sometimes when I start the class, we fill the board with words related to happiness that come out of group discussion. And we notice, I can just tell you, you can imagine how this would go. We notice that some of the words relate to short-term subjective feels, like a moment when you were happy because you were out in nature and the conditions were just right. And some kinds of happiness that seem to be more about a state of being, like to be in a position. And the ancients talked about it sometimes in terms of sagehood. Like the sage was blessed because he or she had achieved a state of being after which they were not the same anymore, which is one of the ways that you can think about that third problem that changes your... Becoming a sage, if it should happen to you, it hasn't happened to me, I'll just be quite honest with you. In the ancient model, becoming a sage changed everything. Like it was the day you changed and it changed everybody's relationship to you. So is happiness more like that? That would be kind of cool. Or is it more like just getting good at feeling good more often? Right? Good. Yeah, these are central problems of happiness. Anything else? I put my glasses on. Would that help? I need to replace them. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, that's a good start. One of the things that I'm going to highlight more as we get into our first few classes is, what does it mean to approach these problems as philosophers? I think there's a happiness class in the psych department. It's a really good one. Monica Bartlett teaches. But it's a very different class than this. What does it mean for philosophers to try to address happiness? Now, I'll just give you two things to add to your notes right now, and we'll get into this in great detail. We have philosophy majors and minors in the room. I want to find out more about who is here with that orientation, whether it's officially part of your program of study. But the two things I wanted to mention just now are that you know you're doing philosophy when you're moving toward basic accounts of reality. So the direction of thought, let's make put it in your notes that way. You know when the direction of thought is toward basic things, essences, fundamental reality, the nature of the thing. That's what philosophers try to do. And you'll know you're doing philosophy when you're doing that and when you're offering considerations that appeal to our reason and emotions, our understanding of who we are as rational emotive creatures. Now, the old way of saying that was appeal to reason. Now, if you're a philosopher who thinks that we are essentially rational creatures, which is still quite a powerful view, very traditional view, that's fine. But I think many people in philosophy, I agree with many people in philosophy who would say, no, we're rational emotive creatures. So we have to kind of think about ourselves kind of more holistically. Okay, so you know you're doing philosophy when you're appealing to our nature as rational emotive creatures in the effort to say something about a basic reality that we experience or have reason to think exists. And then we'll talk about, so that's a very abstract set of two pair of criteria. What this topic of philosophical method really becomes practical in the mechanics of the course, because we're going to be doing some writing. You're going to be writing philosophically, and you're going to be looking at each other's writing. And so we're going to make the question of what counts as good philosophy of happiness, we're going to make that a question for our work, our written work in the class as well. So I'll tell you a little bit about that as we get into the mechanics of the course. I think that's most of what I wanted to do right now as far as the course itself. I will say this is a really interdisciplinary course. I won't ask you to write down all these disciplines, but this course has philosophy in it, it has history of thought, it has, I didn't write this legibly, oh my gosh. It has economics, history, psychology, behavioral psychology, evolutionary psychology, theology. I mean, this is a real sociology. There's a bunch of disciplines I left off. You know, this is a very interdisciplinary topic. And I'll just say one more thing about how philosophers approach topics like this. Sometimes what philosophers can do in a case like happiness is integrate things. Because we have lots of different kinds of literature in this course. Some old stuff, some very new stuff, and it's things from different disciplines. So one thing that philosophers do when there's no single discipline, there is no single discipline to produce knowledge of happiness. This was kind of, even if it's no, what kind of knowledge is it? I can't answer this question today, but I can tell you that there is no single discipline that has the corners of the market on knowledge of happiness. Chemistry is the correct answer if you're asking, is there a discipline that studies the chemical nature of the universe, right? But there is no correct answer if you're asking, what is the discipline that studies happiness? Everybody studies happiness. And it's so complex, it's so difficult a problem for reasons like the ones I've given you today, that sometimes that's the kind of problem where philosophers come in, where there isn't a single method that's going to get you the answer. There's no method like a method in chemistry that's going to give you an answer to this. So philosophers sometimes reach to try to integrate things when the problem is so complicated that we don't have a single discipline that can address it. Okay. Okay. So if there's question, anything you want to slip in at this point, otherwise we'll switch to course mechanics and sort of how things are going to operate. I'll do that. Okay. Okay. The only thing you need to do here is kind of create a little to-do list for yourself. There's going to be a couple of tasks I'll ask you to kind of to do on your own time, mostly browsing course resources. So the first thing you might want to make a note of, though, is that the course resources are at alfino.org, are linked from alfino.org, and there's really two websites for the course. One website is where you'll find all of the current course reading, information about what we're going to read, notes from class, anything you see on the screen in class will be on a wiki page that you can find. So if you're at alfino.org and you click on wiki and then click on happiness, why don't you put on your to-do list to browse both the wiki and what we'll call courses.alfino. Courses.alfino is where you'll find grade information. It's where you'll manage your grades. It's where you'll find the PDFs themselves because they're behind a password. The wiki is where let's just take a look at it. For some reason, these are coming in small. So this is the Wikipedia for the class, right? You click on wiki from alfino.org. Everybody saw that. And then you click on happiness. And really, the main document you're going to want here is the reading schedule. So, for instance, this reading schedule tells you that on Thursday, we're going to be talking about McMahon Chapter 1, that's that History of Happiness book I told you about, and Kahn and Vetrano's article, those are two philosophers, called Living Well. And you're going to find those PDFs. This is really important. It's a little confusing. I want to be good at explaining it. You're going to find those PDFs on courses.alfino, but you're going to find the reading schedule on the wiki. And the reason is just because they're PDFs and they need to be behind a password, okay? So that's the main use of the wiki is going to be to get at the reading schedule. But we also kind of keep track of study questions. I might do this a little differently this year. Class notes, well, this is the first class, so we're doing this now, right? You may have noticed that I do record classes, so these links up here will become active after class. I'll upload the audio files. So if you do need to miss a class, you can actually hear what we said. Not so bad a thing. And there is another section, so for each class date, there are two audio files. There's some basic course information here. There's a course bibliography. I tend to organize, like a lot of faculty, I tend to organize my classes around a set of research questions. So you'll notice some of our some aspects of our three basic problems here, but feel free to notice this here now. These are maybe 12 basic questions that do get addressed in this particular version of the class. But we don't really need to. We won't be working with these questions as a list so much. We'll be talking about methods. We'll talk about rubrics for assignments. We don't need to go into that. We'll be talking about you can actually add content to the wiki. I'll be talking about that on Thursday. I need to kind of go through how you can post to the wiki. So this is wiki software that's running locally on Gonzaga's server. It's like an older version of the Wikipedia software that the Wikipedia runs, and probably a simpler version. But it's open source software. So what I'd like you to do now, if you have your phone with you or any device, you don't have to do this now, so don't feel bad if you don't have anything like that but on you. But if you could, go to alfino.org, if you would, please. Or you could do it later if you don't want to do this on your phone. That's fine. Just make a note to do it. Go to alfino.org. Then go to the wiki. Then go to the Happiness Wiki. And then click on this link under Google Forms, roster information. You see that on the screen? Roster information. And you should see this when you click on roster information. Okay, if you could fill that out, that'd be great. Choose a password that you'll use to get the PDFs. Okay, if you could submit that when you're done, that'd be great. We'll have rosters on Thursday then. Well, actually, we need to have rosters sooner than Thursday. So actually, I'll upload these tonight because it's how you get your PDFs. Okay, Kelly.
Wait, so is the word you will use to log in the password? Or
yes, I know. This is a funny thing. I've never had this problem before, but Google kept flagging my form as a violation of their terms of agreement. And it turns out they won't allow me to use the word password in a form because it sounds like I'm collecting people's passwords. Like they care that deeply about my behavior. So I had to use a circumlocution, the word you will use to log in. Yes. That is the password. You choose a word for that there that will be your password on courses.alfino. What? You can use the word password. Yeah, this is not your bank, you know, so I don't think there's a filter against that kind of thing. Yeah. And if there's a problem, we can figure it out. And this is important because I'll be sending an email out. If you don't get an email from me by tonight saying that the roster is up, and you can go look at the roster, I'll show you how to get to that, then you should get in touch with me because that's how you get access to the PDF for Thursday's class, right? Okay, so there's a little bit of a pressure there. Okay?
Anybody else? Any other questions about that? So that worked?
Yeah, I thought that was weird. They kept deleting it or flagging it. Okay, so I'll have that roster up by late this afternoon or tonight. And that's a roster that'll show up here. So like if you were at alfino.org and you click now on courses, right? So we said there are two main websites for the course. That was the wiki, and here's courses.alfino.org. And here you will see your name on this roster. For the moment, I logged in with a temporary student name that I'll delete. But I wanted to be able to show you a couple of things on courses.alfino.org. The main one being the PDF links. So Khan and Vetrano is right there, right? And who is our other one? McMahon, right? So McMahon is right here. So there are two books in the class as well, two thin books in the class. One is Dan Habern's Short Introduction to Happiness. And the other is Mihail Csikszentmihalyi, great name, right? Romanian and psychologist, called Finding Flow. Okay, so you don't need these immediately. You'll need this one before this one. But if you guys want to kind of look for those books, they should be in the bookstore. Has anybody been to the bookstore? Anyway, so those are two books in the class. Everything else is PDFs, and that's how you're going to access them. Feel free to stop me with questions if you have questions. Okay, the other thing that's a little different in my classes is that I give you some room to create your own grading scheme. So there's some constraints. This takes a little bit to explain, so I'm going to go ahead and try to explain it now today, and then we'll take some questions on it Thursday. Nothing happens immediately with this, so don't worry. We'll have time to understand it better. Well, that's funny. I wonder why that shows that. Right, because I'm logged in as this fictitious student. Okay, so if you were managing your grading schemes, you would see them all here. I'm sorry, you'd see them all here. And these are the three required elements for the course. I'm just going to explain them briefly, and then we'll say more about them as we get into the course. Quizzes and writing is Q&W. And that's a series, that's a lot of assignments, many of which happen in class, ranging from reading quizzes to group work where you turn in a Google form and you get credit as a member of a group who's done something, to assessments where you turn in a form in class or shortly after class with an answer to a question. In other words, there's a variety of quiz and writing type assignments which are going to be point-based. And then what we'll do is we'll tally points until midterms, and then I'll do a kind of curve of the grading. And we try to keep the grading curve between A and B minus. It usually does stay in there. It can go below B minus a little bit. That's kind of where people wind up. So there's a curve in place to kind of help that happen, but it doesn't guarantee that that happens. And so these are the kinds of assignments that students actually do find kind of challenging. Reading quizzes are actually kind of hard. And early on, when I started doing this, for most of my career, I didn't do reading quizzes. I just thought, oh my God, I can't do that. So then I started to feel the necessity of it because you guys have a lot of assignments and things in other classes, and it's just really hard to read for a class when you know that there's nothing that's going to happen if you don't, right? So a few years ago, I did start giving quizzes that really kind of help students get information about how much they're getting from the reading. I've gotten good advice from students about how to vary that practice, because I think doing reading quizzes all semester long is just incredibly discouraging. It's because I'm getting some good nonverbal feedback. That's great. Yeah, it's just in the early years of doing this, I was like, wow, I don't know if I can keep doing this to people. This really doesn't feel good. It's like once you find out that, okay, you're not among the better readers in the class, you know that maybe. Maybe you work on it. Maybe you get better. I think you do get useful information from these reading quizzes. But what we'll do is we'll start with reading quizzes. And after all, reading comprehension isn't the outcome
goal for the course. The goal for this course is for you guys to be really good philosophers of happiness. So we kind of build up from quizzes to writing exercises. And so, and we also, we're a community of philosophers. And just finding out about your reading comprehension doesn't really put you guys into community with each other. So my pedagogy on Q&W has moved in the direction of mixing, doing quizzes early on, and then starting to do more exercises that involve short pieces of writing, some of which you guys will be evaluating, okay? And I'll get to that in a minute. The final exam is a required element, and it's going to be two take-home essays that you'll write during the last week of the semester. So we don't actually hold class during the last week of the semester. And those are take-home, open note, open book, all of your tests in this class. If you choose to do tests, they'll be take-home, open note, open book. So My Philosophy of Happiness paper is a term paper. It's a 7-to-10-page term paper in which you try to synthesize your philosophy of happiness. So those are the required elements, but you can also you can choose those elements within a range. So the final exam actually has a range from 20% to 35%. So you can make the final exam worth more or a little bit less. Likewise, the philosophy of happiness paper has a range from 20 to 35%. Notice that for this temporary fake student, there's nothing else has been chosen here. But if I wanted to do one of these assignments, and I'll say something about these assignments in a minute. If I wanted to do these assignments, what I would do is make room for them, maybe by lowering this to 25, or what was it before, 35? Lowering this to, say, 20. And then, say I wanted to join a book group, then I would add this here. Okay? So the point is that you manage your own grading scheme. You try to keep everything adding up to 1. And the way you manage your grading scheme is because the required elements have a percentage range. Are you guys with me on this? And so you can adjust the weight of those required elements within the range, you can make room for up to 30% of informal work. So let's talk about the kinds of assignments. Questions about that? Are we okay with that basically? So the kinds of assignments that you would be choosing, well, let's just take a quick look at them. I do have a number of books to suggest to you guys that could be the basis of a book group where two or three or four of you read a book outside of class. You meet for it, but you get credit for it because it's part of your grading scheme. So you can see the grading scheme concept's a way for you to get credit for learning activities that you want to choose that are relevant to the class. And so that's kind of the basic idea. Any class presentation you do, you could identify as a distinct item in your grading scheme. Last few semesters, I've had students volunteer to co-teach with me. So you could, if you're interested, you could co-teach a class. We could pick out a class that you want to try, and we could co-teach it together. That's kind of fun too. You may choose to write a formal paper as an option. So this is a formal in the sense that I can apply a formal rubric to it. The final exam required. This tells you that you've got it set at 25%. Probably the most popular and I would say the most important optional assignment for you to consider is a happiness practicum. Now, this is a completely academic course. You can do this course without discussing yourself or your own personal situation. You can do this course simply by reading and responding intellectually to the material. On the other hand, one thing that philosophers do as part of their method is they go have experiences. One way to be a philosopher is to try to have experiences that you think will tell you things that reading books can't necessarily tell you. And so I'm going to add a fifth one here, I think. I'm going to add a fifth one. But these are the four that have been in the course most consistently. There's course reading on all of these. So these are practicum exercises in which you have a particular kind of experience. You may learn how to meditate, basic meditation. And I actually have someone to contact to be a kind of instructor who will convene with us outside of class. And if you're trying to learn meditation, I don't have the skills to guide people in meditation. I've done this for a long time, but as a personal practice.
But meditation comes up in the course as a technique that is relevant to happiness. There's also a really interesting literature in psychology on savoring. Savoring is the capacity to take enjoyment from experiences. It turns out that you can work on your savoring skills. And wow, what better kind of homework to have homework where the goal of the homework is to get more pleasure from an experience. So when we cover that reading in the course, Fred Bryant is the guru of savoring research, as far as I'm aware. We'll use his advice about how to structure some experiences that you choose to have, and then you write about them as savoring experiences. So, likewise, gratitude, which is related to savoring, actually. There are a couple of psychologists who are kind of the main psychologists of gratitude research, and we'll be reading their readings. And if you choose that practicum, you'll start your practicum around that point in the semester when we're reading that research. And then you'll keep a gratitude journal for how long? 3 weeks. The meditation, really, the longer you do that, the better. I'd say at least a month, 4 to 5 weeks. So these are all experience and journal exercises. The last one is, and this might be a deepening experience for some of you who already do yoga, we'll be reading a little bit of yoga philosophy in the class. And because yoga thought has a particular way of talking about happiness that's really quite insightful. Yoga is also very popular, at least as a form of exercise for many of you. But this would allow you to deepen your experience of yoga or start an experience of yoga. A lot of students choose this one and they say, okay, well, I've been waiting to start yoga. This is the time. I guess I'm going to do it now. So that would be a possibility because yoga, you'll have a reading to pair with an experience and then a reflection. Are you guys with me on these practicums? You don't have to choose a practicum. It's completely up to you. I won't be disappointed if you don't. But it's a really good way to make the course experiential. Okay. The last one, which I've been doing for a few years, and I think I want to add it. I don't know how easy this will be for you guys to do. I don't know how appealing it would be. I've been a hospice volunteer for now 3 years, and hospice volunteering is actually related to happiness in a really interesting way. It's not the easiest thing to do. It's not everybody's thing, but I'm going to add that as a possibility. You would have to qualify as a volunteer. It's not hard to do. There are two main hospice companies in town. One's nonprofit, one's for profit. But this is a commitment. You would then be assigned to, if you're a hospice volunteer, you get assigned to or you agree to visit people who are in hospice. And we have a very important class in this course on death and end of life. And how you think about the end of life or how you think about death is incredibly powerful for thinking about happiness. It's a difficult topic. But there's also, not surprisingly, a kind of practical experience you can have which puts you into contact with this part of human experience. So tomorrow, I don't do this during the summer, so you might say I'm a lightweight hospice volunteer. I have to give myself the summer, but I'm getting a patient tomorrow, this very interesting woman-sounding woman, 95-year-old, up on South Hill. She's in some facility, and I'm going to go visit her tomorrow. So hospice volunteering and journaling would be a fifth practicum. But that isn't a simple one because you have to kind of become a volunteer. Okay. So anyway, we'll talk about the practicums more. Some of you know that you're good journal writers. You like writing journals. That would be an assignment you could choose. I used to have separate assignments for movie reviews. Like, there are a lot of happiness movies, right? So I used to have a separate assignment called Happiness Movie Review. I'd rather fold that into the journal assignment now. So if you want to do 3 journals and devote one of them to reviewing a movie on happiness, that'd be okay. Likewise, I used to have this incredibly popular assignment, which I miss, actually. I had too much of it, but this was a really fun assignment. I'm almost tempted to just put it back up there. It was The Music of Happiness, and this was an assignment in which you went through your music taste in your music collection, and you tried to figure out how different music that you listen to is relevant to different situations related to happiness or sadness.
In other words, and you guys are nodding, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, I got I've gotten hundreds and hundreds of papers. I used to get them along with CDs that people would, in the old days, you know, in the Stone Age, people would burn CDs. I used to collect so much music that way. It was great. Now everybody just sends YouTube links, you know, it's not the same. But anyway, if you want to do that, I would suggest you choose journals and make that one of your journals. You see what I mean? Midterm exam. Some of you won't be comfortable waiting to have a formal exam experience. So you could write it. You could do. I'll come up with some essay exams that you could do out of class, open note, open book, and that could be a midterm if you want to make room for that. The My Philosophy of Happiness paper, as I said, is kind of your attempt to make a statement at the end of this term about the parts of the course that spoke to you, the parts of the course that fit into a coherent theory of happiness for you, right? So that's why it's called the My Philosophy of Happiness. A lot of times in my courses, people have, in any course really, people get short-term interest research, short-term research interest. So you might be in a class and you might do reading for the class and I say, I don't know if I agree with that. I think I read something in another class that contradicts that. Or you might want to know more about something. You might get excited about something in the class, God forbid. And you might just want to go like find out more about it. That could be a short paper. You could leave it at that. You could bring that back to the class and present. It just depends on what it is and what your interests are. Okay, are we good? Yeah, good. Okay, so let's see where we are. We're almost done. That's kind of what you mean with that. Let me make sure I haven't forgotten anything. I think we're actually in pretty good shape. So why don't we break? I'll see you guys on Thursday. Remember, if you don't hear from me to tell you that, you know, the roster's up, that might mean there's some problem with your particular login. So by tonight, you should get an email from me, and you should see yourself on the roster of courses.alpino.org.